This week on Journey Through the Word at Horizon Indy, Bill Goodrich takes us through Luke 11:1 in a message entitled, A Life of Prayer.
Luke chapter 11. We're not continuing this morning our study in Ephesians. Last week we had an outside service that turned into being an inside service. And on the outside services, it's nice to just have a time for like a devotional. And we looked at Psalm 139 last week, and I pray that we were blessed by that. But as I was going back and thinking about Ephesians, I felt the Lord had a different message for us, the best that I can tell. And it's just been going back and forth in my mind and looking at this and feeling, Lord, I have no right to teach what I'm going to teach today. I truly don't. I've got so much to learn. I know so little. The older that I get and the longer I walk in the Lord, I realize it's but an empty shell. And I want God to fill it so much. Truly. We had a gentleman in our life. You that have been around know him. Because I can't help but speak about him every once in a while. Because he impacted our hearts, our lives so much. He stood about 5 foot tall. He wasn't a very attractive man. He was bald. Of all things, he was bald. What can I say? Hey! Yeah, lighten it up. Lighten it up a little bit right now. Lighten it up. He was born as a commoner in England. But one day in 1905, the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way there to visit the people of Wales. And he was right on the edge of Wales in England. And the Holy Spirit came and began to break the hearts of men and women in a good way. A good way. The Spirit was poured out, and people that were in the mine shafts would come to work, and they would go down and take the elevators down, and they would come out different people. They would actually, the soot that was on their face, there was streaks going down their faces because of the tears that they had experienced when they were down there. On the streets of cities, the bars were closing down. The houses of where bad things went on were shut down. And people began to fill the churches. It was called revival, the Welsh revival. Mr. Willis was there in church, and as he told me the story a number of times, he was in the balcony at age 15, growing up in a Baptist church, believing that he was a Christian. And they would sing this song about seeing your mom in heaven. And the Holy Spirit would say to him, you're not going to see her in heaven. And he had a conversation with God at that point and saying, what do you mean I'm not going to see her in heaven? And the answer came, because you've not given your life to me. At that point, at age 15, raised in a Baptist church, he got out of that balcony as the evangelist gave an opportunity to give their lives to the Lord, anybody who wanted to. And he walked forward and was born again. See, you can be real close, but yet be so far. After that, he began to travel in an itinerant evangelist. Pastored a church, Baptist church, at age 21. He would go on to be a missionary in Korea and China and Canada. And then in a place called Southern California, God would bring this 5 foot tall individual in his late 80s, or his 80s at that point, I guess, and would bring him down to a little Bible college in San Diego, and he would become the prayer chaplain. And he would teach on prayer every time he came down, once a week, once a month when he came down for a week and taught and prayed there. He would come into our house and stay in our house for a week, he and his wife. And then we would move him down into San Diego and rented a house for them. And there he, Mr. Willis and his wife, Mrs. Willis, would be there. And then finally she passed away. And so Mr. Willis, at that point, 92 years old, we just felt led to open our door and invite him into our house to live with us. Best decision we've ever made. I think Bonnie and I would say that. I mean, there's been other good decisions too, but you know, that was a great decision. Just a great decision because we saw in him things we would never have seen. We had experienced revival because we were born again in that. But we saw a man, as I've shared before, but some don't know this, that he would get up from the breakfast table and he would raise his finger in the air and get this silly grin on his face. And he would say, "I have an audience with the King." And then he would just shuffle his way down into his bedroom. And there he had a chair that he put his Bible on. There he had a pillow that he put his knees on. And there he would intercede for hours upon hours upon hours. And he would pray for souls. Souls, that was his burden. Now, I hope that is not, you're not tired. Those that have heard that before are not tired. But modeled into my heart was an attitude of prayer into my life. I'm still trying to learn. I'm so shallow when I just experience and think about his life. And that's okay. It took him 80 years to get there. I'm not that old. I still got time. But amazing thing. Obviously, he prayed that the body of Christ would be revived. They would be restored. I asked Mr. Willis, and you guys remember this, and pray you're not tired of this either, but I said, "Mr. Willis," just before he was going to die, I asked him, "What would you say to the overall church of Jesus Christ if you could say anything?" And I had my pen and paper ready to go. And again, this is what poured out of his mouth. "Call together those who are really interested." I constantly read this. I keep this in my Bible and I go to it. And I keep saying, am I truly interested? I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Am I truly interested? Those who truly want to see God's Holy Spirit working. Do I really want to see that? I've tasted of that. I've seen that. But do I really want to see it again? Because he goes, those who believe that God's Holy Spirit desires revival. He's looking for Christians everywhere to bring it about. It's a challenge to the Christians. Are they content with things as they are? Or do they want to see a great coming to God through prayer? And I read that and I keep thinking that. And what does that mean for me, Lord? What does it mean for us as a congregation? What does it mean for you today? And he says, a great coming to God through prayer, to get filled with a burning desire to see God's people saved. Do I have that burning desire, Lord? You've got to realize that revival costs, Mr. Willis said. God's people have a price to pay. If they will pay it, God will honor it. And then he said so wisely, he said, Lord, help me. Today, look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when Jesus ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. What a wise statement. Naturally, they wanted to know how to pray, but how to pray comes when we pray. There's not a system to prayer other than we pray to God in heaven. We open our hearts and we believe in that way. But teach us to pray. January of this year, we had prayed and we came together and asked you guys as a congregation, a group of people, to pray for five things. And we put it out on a little sheet. You hopefully have this and all, but just as a reminder, five things. that we would have a radical heart for the Word of God. We've spoken about that. That we would have a radical heart concerning discipleship. We have spoken about that during 2019. That we would have a radical heart for sharing our faith. That we would have a radical heart for giving unto the Lord and to others. And the fifth thing that we prayed about was that we would have a radical heart for prayer. I believe that we are to stop for a short devotion today and be reminded that we are to pray that we would have a radical heart for prayer. And we've asked each other to pray for four things under this category. Pray that our prayers might be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Pray that we might be watchful in prayer. Pray in such a way that we continuously ask, seek, and knock. Pray with attitudes of supplication, intercession, giving of thanks, giving of praise. I don't know how well you've done, but I can honestly say my life has been lacking, and I want it to be different. That I could learn to pray even more so, and that we would see God's answer to prayer. Lord, teach us to pray is the cry of those disciples. How we are to pray, he'll show us how we are. One way, look at verse 9 of this chapter. We're to persevere in our prayers. It says in verse 9, so I say to you, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Look at that promise. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. But there's perseverance. Not only asking, but we must seek in our asking. And we must also knock. Combination of it all working together. And then in verse 11, Jesus said, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Of course not. A good loving father would never do that. But the idea is our heavenly Father, he would not do those things, give a stone or give a serpent or give a scorpion. But look at verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We know who the Holy Spirit is. We've talked about that. We talk about that many times. But I can say honestly, I have felt the Spirit presence of God back when those days when the Spirit was poured out there on the hippies and all of that in the meetings. I just felt it poured out in such a way that we would come to church 45 minutes ahead of time so we could get a seat. We would sit in the second row right there. And we didn't want to be in the third row. You know, we definitely didn't want to be in the back row. I don't know how you guys put up with the back row. I'm only kidding. You can be in any row you want. Just be here, okay? Whatever you want to do. And everybody can't be in the front row. But I know that we just want it. We want it. And today, I pray that we could want and we could find as we ask, seek, and knock. And so the Lord has just asked me briefly to bring and share this morning a life of prayer. Just some things to think about concerning a life of prayer, a life of prayer as an individual, a life of prayer as us as a church, a corporation, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into us individually and corporately. Are we praying? Calling believers, I believe God is doing today, individually and corporately, prayer seems to be on the front burner of God's purposes during these end times. We all understand what individual prayer means, but corporate prayer simply means praying together, coming together and praying, like we did on Wednesday night. Guys, it was a wonderful time. It really was. I thank the Lord for those that are serving in Awana. You enable kids come and hear the gospel. But I can say that Wednesday night, we had an extended time of worship, an extended time of prayer, just waiting upon the Lord. We need to have more of those times. We all understand what individual prayer is, like I said. This kind of prayer speaks of a unity. Corporate prayer speaks of a unity of purpose within those called to pray. We are all called to pray. It seems that throughout the world, I believe, God is calling his people to answer the call of the Holy Spirit to get involved in serious prayer and intercession. Do you guys sense that? Do you feel that? I mean, it's just, it's happening. I really do. And we must respond to that. May our cry be, Lord, teach us to pray. May we desire to see God move among us in awesome ways. Because if we ask, seek, and knock, then I believe that God will hear and pour out his Spirit. Look on the screen, you'll see Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, the promise of Jesus Christ. He says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, what does that whatever mean? Okay, whatever. Okay, you guys are right there. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, what's it say then, last three words? You will receive. Look at John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, what's the next four words? I will do it. Wow, Lord, teach me to pray. Because there's promises. Lord, teach me to pray because there's things that will set people free. In 1 John chapter 5, he brings balance, verse 14 and 15. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, yes, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. Wow. Probably the most powerful thing God has given to human beings after salvation is the ability to pray. It's been given to us. It's been granted to us. It's a blessing. Proverbs tells us that God delights in the prayers of his people. He delights in that. Let's delight him, okay? You know? Let's pray. I've broken down the study just into two things this morning, just to remind us of the premises of individual and corporate intercession, and also the reasons that we pray individually and corporately for people. First of all, the premise of individual and corporate prayer. The first one is prayer is one of God's agendas for our time. Do we believe that? It's one of his agendas for our time. So I'm encouraging us to be involved in his agenda. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. No, I would never do that. But prayer is one of God's agendas for our time. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 21, verses 12 through 13. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house, here's God's agenda, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Our house today, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. As a congregation where we gather belongs to the Lord. Oh, that it would be filled with his Spirit, that there would be a zeal in our heart, the zeal that David expressed in Psalm 69:9 when he said this, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, David said. That means to burn in me like a fire. Today, does it burn in my life? I'd like to think so, but no, there's room for more. Jesus was not zealous just to be rid of the corruption in the temple that day. He was zealous for the Father's house to become a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Is my house a house of prayer? Because it's important that it would be. It is important for us to realize that we can and will be successful in prayer because of the zeal that God has for prayer. He will take us where he wants us to be as we just simply fall in love with him. We don't have to try to grunt anything or anything like that. It's his work. Another premise that I thought of is prayer is one of God's ordained methods. It's his method. It's not just an agenda, but it's in a method. Throughout Scripture, we can observe a lot of victory that takes place because of God's people being in prayer. Amen? Think of there in Acts chapter 1 and 2, where the Holy Spirit came because 120 people came together and prayed. If we came together for a time of prayer on Sunday night and 120 of us came together, I would be blown away, wouldn't you? But what would keep us? What keeps me? What keeps us away from coming together and praying? I know that we pray and it's good that we pray, but coming together in such a way that the Holy Spirit would come and pour out his presence in our midst. Oh, may that happen. Steve Meeks said this, to pray is to dream the dreams of God. It would be good for us to dream the dreams of God. Amen? Amen. There's a couple, I won't mention them. They came the second service, and we've been praying for one of their children. And this child has been wandering from Jesus, just wandering from Jesus. Get into situations that are not good, not godly. She's been raised from the get-go to love Jesus and all that. And she found a boy, a man. And all of a sudden, that man who did not know the Lord took her down this direction in a big way. So they've been praying for months upon months, and they've been lovingly confronting her and all, you know, for a period of time. And I just went up to them today after the second service. Tell me, I haven't heard anything. And they'd say, Bill, you would not believe how God has answered prayer. This young man came to them and said, I just accepted Jesus Christ. And this situation that their daughter and he had been in, we're stopping it. We're stopping it. And we're going to church. And it's just this wonderful, wonderful blessing. Exciting, isn't it? But they prayed and they kept asking people to pray. And they would, you know, call, Bill, are you praying? And doing all that because they believed in prayer. To pray is to dream the dreams of God. The second topic I'd like to just touch on is the reasons for individual and corporate intercession. The first reason is, number one, there's strength in praying together. Anybody believe that? When we come together, what did Jesus say? He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. God is there. We pray together because God has made us to need each other. The truth is our flesh is weak and we pray better and more consistently and more faithful when we come together and join together and pray in a marriage, in a family, in a church, in a home fellowship. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The writer of Hebrews said this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a blessing for gathering together and praying. Yes, individually, but joining together. The second reason for individual and corporate intercession is that there is power in praying together. It's very important that we'd see that. Not just strength, but there's power. Matthew 18, 19, again, Jesus said, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Individual and corporate prayer brings individual and corporate power. And so it's important that we would see there is power in praying together. Thirdly, why do we pray individually? Why do we pray corporately? Why do we intercede? Because there is purpose in praying together. God has a purpose. We have a holy temple to build. He uses prayer to build up ourselves and build up other people. He answers prayer. In Ephesians, it said, in whom the whole body being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We cannot do this as individuals as well as we can do it together as we gather and pray. Where two are gathered, where three are gathered in his name, or more are gathered. It's a special, special thing. Another purpose that I see, not only are we have a holy temple to build, but we have a holy calling to fulfill. You and I have a calling. Again, my house shall be called a house of prayer. not a den of thieves. They made it a den of thieves. The only way the church can be called a house of prayer is if we are a people of prayer. Amen? Being people of prayer. Sometimes it seems so hard, I know. I mean, it really does. But spending that time in interceding, we sure go there quickly when we have a need, do we not? The world is a crazy place. Anybody say amen to that? There's plenty of need. We don't have to go far. We can look around our streets. We can look around in our nation. There's something around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. There's something around the corner. I don't know how wide that corner is right now. I'm not trying to scare anybody or whatever. There's something coming for the United States of America. There's something coming that's going to challenge the people of the United States of America. And I believe it's going to usher in, I pray, one of the greatest outpourings of God's Spirit. That would be good, wouldn't it? Truly would be. But we must get to our knees. We have a holy temple to build. We have a holy calling to fulfill. And thirdly, we have a holy person to reveal. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We get to allow others to see Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Stephen Meeks also said this. He's a pastor. He said this, through individual and corporate prayer, a church can become one of God's thoroughfares into the city. Into the city. That he can cause us to be in the midst of the city, but yet as we are his people, the church, then his Spirit will go in and through our lives, touching people in special ways. Today, our challenge as a church is to continue what God began in our midst. We as a group of people cannot step back from the call into prayer that God has set for each and every one of us. We must pray through, as Mr. Willis would say. Pray all the way through. Take something and pray it through. That mom and dad that I went up to and said, how's it going with this their daughter? They have been praying, and I believe God has taught them to pray through. And now the answer, they were just beaming. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to see when God answers our prayers? It truly is. And he's ready and willing to do it even more so. Stephen Meeks, in his article, and I'll close with this, in Prayer Magazine, made this statement. Praying together has been like igniting a spiritual boiler room within our church. The temperature of our faith has risen. Answered prayers are an ongoing experience. We have seen the climate of our unity change. We have entered a stream of God's activity along with a host of other churches and Christians and pastor groups across our city. There is a feeling of oneness among the churches, and practical strategies are developing for the church to stand firm in one spirit, contending as one for the faith of the gospel. Praise the Lord, that God would outpour his Spirit in our midst in a wonderful way. Today, as I said, our challenge as a church is to continue what God has begun in our midst. That's why we're praying for a radical heart for the Word of God, a radical heart concerning discipleship, a radical heart for sharing our faith, and a radical heart for giving unto others to help other people, and for a radical heart for prayer. If we pray, he will answer it. Amen? He truly will. God is good. We must pray through. Whatever it is on our hearts, may we be people that are known. We pray it through for the glory of God. Amen?
Our journey will continue in our next broadcast. Thanks for joining us today. Journey Through the Word is a ministry of Horizon Indy in Indianapolis, Indiana. If you want more info, check us out at horizonindy.org. or call 317-823-2349. Join us next time, and you'll hear the pages turn as we journey through the Word.
Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.